You don't have to show it. The guy said, what was the point? Nobody came unless it was their day.
Listen, Rick. You don't ask any unnecessary questions. Only the ones I tell you.
Sure, but it's all right.
Maybe, maybe not. We keep as quiet as we can. Don't draw attention, right?
Sure, sure. Read you loud and clear, boss. From now on, it's low-profile city.
Major Commissar Zimyanyan had been allocated one of the better wags run by internal security. It had once been a Mercedes, but the rear end had been crushed in an accident. The rebuilding had been done by various hands at various times, and now little remained of the original auto. But it ran well, and the heater worked. Zimyanyan was on his way to talk personally to one or two of the witnesses who'd seen the trio of strangers. The letter to the marshal had worked even more dramatically than he'd hoped. The call had come through direct on Zimyanyan's personal sec line. He'd picked up the cracked Bakelite receiver and held it to his ear without saying anything, guessing who his caller might be.
Are you there?
Yes, Comrade Marshal.
Your letter. Have you lost your mind, Major?
Zimyanyan didn't reply for several seconds.
No.
No? Is that all you have to say?
Yes.
But you can't... Do you realize what a letter like this means?
It means I believe we may have a full condition read.
Americans? There hasn't been any proved evidence of Americans within our country for more years than I can recall.
I think they are here now.
Your proof?
Zimyanyan smiled. It was the concession, the sign of weakening that he had guessed would eventually appear. Sieraski couldn't take the chance, however remote, that the suspicion might prove correct.
Once I take them, you will have the proof, Comrade Marshal.
If you do not take them, then what?
Then you will be correct, and I will not, Comrade Marshal.
You think you know them?
I think it is possible that I have once met that one-eyed man and the woman.
Your adventure in the Kamchatka? The same man, Comrade Major Commissar? Could they have invaded us from the far northeast and trekked all the way to Moscow? Yes, I suppose it is possible. You have my authority to go to Condition Orange and put any SEC forces you need on red standby. Where are you going to search for them?
Zimyanyan was going to play a hunch.
Their trail leads directly to the heart of the Ville, Comrade Marshal. Through Govorovo and Nikolino and into Romyanki and up to the river. I suddenly thought what lay in their path, what they might not be able to resist. You know?
What?
Pamyatnik.
Of course. Yes, of course. Brilliant, my dear boy, brilliant. The Museum of the People's Struggle Against the Oppressors of the United States. Yes, I'm sure you're right.
Yes. And I am going there myself.
Ryan, Christy, and Rick had finally reached the front of the seemingly endless lineup, enduring the biting cold and the flurries of fresh snow, as well as the hectoring and bullying of the patrolling female SEC guards. Just as he passed under the portico of the building, Ryan glanced out into the wide street. A maroon passenger wag drove by and slowed down. The passenger was speaking to the driver, a uniformed man, bareheaded, totally bald, with a long, drooping mustache. Ryan was struck by the man's close resemblance to the Russian they'd met in Alaska, though the name at first eluded him. Then, like a lightning flash, it came to him.
Zimyanyan.
It was one of the most amazing buildings that Ryan Carter had ever seen. Over the years, he'd watched a number of scratched old vids, and some of them had been set in big churches and huge stately edifices, the like of which no longer existed in the Deathlands. The Anti-American Memorial was that kind of building. Though it did show some evidence of the sky-blackening nuking the Ville had suffered, it was still in incredibly good shape. The entrance hall soared several stories high, with a vaulted roof, one corner patched and marred with a tangle of metal scaffolding. Several of the windows on the northern flank had been destroyed, but some of the others remained intact. Panes of colored glass were bound about with lead strips. Despite the dull weather outside, the stained glass glowed with the richness of the hues, azures and scarlets, deep cobalts and pale greens. The pictures were what Ryan recognized as being religious subjects, though he'd always believed that the Russians had been a godless people. Here were old men with snowy beards and circles of golden light around their heads, little babies in white robes, tiny silver wings sprouting from between their shoulders. The sound of the villagers' shuffling feet echoed through the hollow mausoleum, like the faint clapping of an immeasurably distant host. Once they were inside, the pressure from the sect forces eased. The maroon uniforms were replaced by a dull green, worn by a number of elderly men and women who seemed to function as both ushers and guides. They shepherded the throng along the winding corridor, following the route marked out by a sequence of black arrows. Ryan and Rick waited together in the main hall, while Christy picked her way between the lines of people, vanishing into the doorway marked with a childlike drawing of a female figure.
What kind of stuff's gonna be in here?
It was Ryan's turn to shrug.
Who knows? I guess there would have been a kind of American, what's the word I want?
Embassy?
Yeah, that's it. There'd have been one of them in the Ville. Ruskies could have raided things from there.
I guess so. Maybe some propaganda movies and posters as well. It seems to me as if this place is almost like a shrine. There's sort of a religious feel to it.
Like a church, you mean?
Yeah, but instead of being dedicated to love and humanity, this looks like it's probably devoted to keeping the flame of hatred still burning bright and hot.
They were talking quietly, trying to keep out of people's way. But one of the old men came up to them and said something sharply, pointing to the flight of stairs and the first of the arrows. Rick nodded and pointed to the sign for the ladies' restroom, grinning at the usher and making a "Women, what can you do about them?" sort of gesture with his hands. The Russian's face cracked into an understanding smile, and he walked away, leaving them alone. At the top of the stairs, Ryan could just make out some huge black-and-white portraits, at least 30 feet high. They'd been daubed with great smears of bright vermilion paint, looking like fresh blood.
Who are they? I recognize that one in the middle. Kennedy, isn't it?
My eyes aren't so good today, Ryan. Yeah, that's Jack. And there's Teddy, Harry, Dwight, Richard, and all of them.
Who's that one in the end?
You're kidding me, Ryan.
No, so much red paint I can't recognize it at all.
Him of all men. So soon you forget. After the 90s and all the political infighting, you know who suddenly came popping out of the closet like the old wooden nickel, don't you?
Ryan looked again at the seamed face, the hanging jowls, and the hunted, darting eyes.
You don't mean that...
Yeah, who else?
But I thought there was some kind of...
Scandal?
Sure. Didn't he...
One of the elderly men in green uniforms was wandering toward them again, and Ryan closed his mouth, pretending a sudden interest in the vaulted stucco of the high ceiling. Christy chose that moment to reappear, flashing a smile at him.
Hey, lover. Ready to go check out the show?
Arm in arm, they moved slowly up the massive staircase, Rick panting at their heels, hanging onto the wide brass balustrade. The arrows led them along the corridors, a part of the silent, shuffling throng of patient Russians. When they reached an exhibit, Rick would pause and gather his breath, translating what the captions and slogans said in a low voice. It was a confusing blur of fact and fantasy. Ryan's own knowledge of the years immediately preceding Skydark was limited to